Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of Holy Communion on this, the 20th Sunday after Trinity. We welcome in particular visitors who are joining us. All of you are most welcome. Our service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For today, the 20th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose Holy Spirit equips your church with a rich variety of gifts. Grant us so to use them that living the gospel of Christ and eager to do your will, we may share with the whole creation in the joys of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Between doctrine and ethics. In this short passage, we find both the statement of our way to God through the work of Christ and the motive for all our behaviour. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as are we, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Easy to be good, says Jesus. There are commandments to be kept. There is wealth to be handled wisely. There are many worldly attractions and ties which may distract us from receiving all the joys found in his kingdom. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard will it be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You'll have heard these words in this morning's gospel passage. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Reflect on those words, and I think we'll agree that they're pretty tough and uncompromising, and they can certainly shatter the notion that some people have that Jesus was simply another Mr. Nice Guy, the sort of person suggested in Victorian hymns like "Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild." Is the love of money really the root of all evil? What appears to be the harsh words of Jesus have provoked two extreme kinds of reactions. One interprets Jesus to mean that we'd better give up as many of our possessions as possible, for money is the root of all evil and a source of great temptation. Therefore, if you wish to live a pure Christian life, give everything away and go and live perhaps in a monastic institution. The other perspective maintains that the words of Jesus apply only to the very wealthy, and since we're not too rich, they shouldn't cause us too much concern. Well, neither interpretation is very satisfactory. So let's think again. I suggest that the words of Jesus urge us not to look on the amount of money we possess, but rather on the role money plays in our lives. What is our attitude towards wealth and material possessions? This morning's text, the one I've used, is not likely to be on the average Christian's list of top 10 favourite Bible passages. Money plays a central role in most of our lives and can be a focal point for thinking in groups like, for example, parish select vestries. After all, if a roof is to be repaired, bills have to be paid and obligations met. Maybe more than anything else in our world, money and how we use it can reflect our deepest values and commitments. Someone cynically suggested to me that there are no atheists in our society, because whatever we most love possessing and most fear losing in a material sense is our functional God, and that can be called money. No wonder Jesus talks frequently about money in his sayings and parables, for it could be said that there are no more religious subjects in life. There are few topics that get so close to our hearts. Money is the measure of most, if not all, things. A good job with a good paycheck can be seen as the means to get all those things which promise us the good life. In today's gospel, we meet a decent and a godly man who seems also to have been rich materially. In our contemporary society, maybe he drives a top-of-the-range car, lives in a fine house in an upmarket suburban area, has a lovely wife and children, and is upwardly mobile in his workplace. In addition to all that, he's a regular church attender who's very supportive in every sense and is perhaps a generous and active member of the local Lions or Rotary Club. However, all is not right. The man Jesus meets is perplexed. He may seem to be a paragon of virtue who observed all the commandments, but his monetary success is leaving him troubled. His anxiety and his doubt are betrayed in the question, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The response of Jesus seems strange. Perhaps even I go further. It seems harsh. "You lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." It was asking too much, and we read that the young man couldn't make such a commitment, and he walked away, we're told, unhappily. The reaction of some of the disciples of Jesus, and I think the response of many of us here in St. Columba's this morning, was and might be that the demand of Jesus was impossible to keep. Just think about it for a moment. What would happen if we gave away all our money and all our possessions? We and perhaps the economy could not survive. There would and there could be no means and ways of raising taxes, and inevitably society would disintegrate. The disciples would have been surprised, I believe, for another reason. Popular Jewish morality believed that prosperity was a sign of God's favour. A rich man was seen to be in good standing with God. And that thought recurs, and I think you'll realise it, many of you, it recurs time and time again in the Psalms. The following question has been set on more than one occasion in GCSE and A-level RE Old Testament papers. The words are directly from Psalm 37, verse 25. And the words are these: I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The candidate has been asked to comment. And it was a passage I loved discussing with people in groups of teenage years. What do you make of all that? No wonder the disciples were surprised. Of course, in saying all this, an obsessive love of money can be the ruination of many people. It can lead us to forget that there are values in this world far beyond money, that there are things that have no price and things that money cannot buy. Prosperity can very easily make a person arrogant, greedy, proud, self-centered, and worldly. But in a sense, the more we have, the greater the responsibility that rests upon us. I think people like Bill Gates, one of the wealthiest men in the world, seem to have grasped that fact in a very practical way, distributing generously some of his vast material resources to those who are in need. Christians need to appreciate that what we possess, we hold in stewardship from God. The rich young man could not bring himself to trust God and follow Jesus. And you know, sometimes we're not much different, irrespective of our material wealth. But one of the lessons of today's gospel is that in Jesus Christ, we can meet a God we can trust totally. When we come to receive Holy Communion, there is no rationing and there is no limit to the supply of God's love. Put it another way, if I can. There is no needle too small with an eye too tiny through which the grace of God cannot pull you and me. In a few minutes' time, we will be giving an offering to the church and to God. To many people, that looks very ordinary and practical. It looks just like another fundraising activity in a money-dominated culture. Like the coffee shops in Ballyhackamore, the church expects you to pay for services rendered. Yes, it may seem that way, but that is not what it is all about. And that's why we call it an offering, and not dues or a collection. For no one is forcing us. We give willingly in the form of our money, admitting in the offertory that all things come from God, to whom we are offering something in return. In a world where there never seems to be enough money to go around, in a world where we are always haunted on television by the spectre of poverty and scarcity, in a world where time is money and money is power, in a world where no camel is ever going to pass through the eye of a needle, in a world filled with such impossibilities, all things are possible with God in Jesus Christ. The reality is here in this place, as you and I draw near in faith to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, knowing that God blesses us with his love and with his grace. To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as his most just due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory. henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised to your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you have given us a wonderful world to live in. You have given us life and all that we need and much to enjoy. We give you thanks and praise for the beauty and wonder of creation, for all things come from you. We ask your blessing upon all who are seeking to care for your creation by working for the relief of others or for the conservation of nature. May we all show respect for what you have given us. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Dromore, and in the diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray for the parish of Maharali and Annaclone and its rector David Palmer and the whole life and work of that parish. And in the Anglican cycle of prayer, we remember the church in Wales. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made, guide the nations in the ways of justice and peace, and bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and all in authority. We pray for our government and all the governments of the world. May all who are in positions of power use their office to the benefit of others and the good of all. At any time when we are perhaps reaching the culmination of discussions about our country leaving the European Union, we pray for an outcome that will be mutually beneficial for all concerned and contribute to the economic well-being of future generations. We ask that the world may accept the peace that you offer us, and that all may live in harmony and none be oppressed. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. We rejoice in the love and protection we receive through our homes and our loved ones. We ask your blessing upon all who are struggling with their relationships or who may suffer from poverty or violence. We pray for families who have been separated by illness or circumstance. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick. Be with those who have any special needs. We remember before you all who are in pain or distress, all who are ill at home or in hospital, all who suffer from neglect or from loneliness. At this time in particular, we pray for Evelyn. Have mercy on the lands and people where the power of nature has caused death and injury and destroyed livelihoods. And we think of those most recently affected by the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia and Hurricane Michael across the southeast of the United States. Prosper those who seek to rebuild their homes and livelihoods and strengthen them by rekindling their hope so they may face the future without fear. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit in communion with all your people and those who have confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The offertory hymn, hymn number 662, singing version 2 of this hymn. Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to
Father Almighty, and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel, commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body,
for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Let us pray. God our Father, whose Son, the light unfailing, has come from heaven to deliver the world from the darkness of ignorance, let these holy mysteries open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know the way of life and walk in it without stumbling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. I want to thank all those who work so hard with all the many preparations for our Harvest Thanksgiving services last weekend. It was a source of great blessing and real encouragement that we embraced a fresh approach to Harvest by having a practical dimension to it. Many of you over recent weeks have been bringing in large amounts of food that we use to decorate our church. And all of that food has now been given to the larder, which is based in St. Christopher's Church in Mercy Street. And what a wonderful sense of privilege to be able to help those in our own community who are in such great need. And I want to say thank you for embracing this new way of going, and how wonderful that we can give back something of what God has first given us to help those in our own community. I also want to thank the catering committee who served a most delicious lunch, and you see that it was a whopper of a total. They raised £1,800 over lunch, and that was terrific. Equally importantly, the hall was full, as indeed was the church, and the atmosphere was so positive, and the buzz and the conversation was wonderful, and that in itself is a source of blessing and a source of thanksgiving as we continue our work here in St. Columba's. This afternoon, the Stevenson family are hosting a fair trade sale at their home, 44 Castledona Rise. I do encourage you to go along to enjoy refreshments there and to support the fair trade sale. On Friday, the Young Families Group are coming along to the rectory for a wine and cheese evening. Do please speak to Emma McPherson, who's just over here in the side aisle, if you haven't done so already. And all young family members are welcome for a very informal evening of catching up and enjoying an evening with wine and cheese. There are soft drinks and non-cheese items as well for those who don't want to partake in that. We now stand and sing Mightily, what I think is the anthem of the Methodist Church in Ireland. And can it be that I should gain hymn number 218? peace to love and serve the Lord.